Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I have been looking at some current events and delving back into my series on the apostasy-ridden fake Christian magazine series, One Way to Apostasy, I termed it, because it's one of many ways that we're heading into the apostasy. And I'm easing back into that study, of course, as I've made references to Relevant magazine. We'll be looking at one of the Relevant magazine article, one of the magazines tonight. And but I've also been looking at some of the current events, particularly the elections that we just experienced with the liberal Christian so-called political influence and attempts to influence elections now, and of course their influence in magazines like Relevant. Of course, I'll also take a glance first off at the what I term the charismaniac aspect of Relevant magazine as well. These are really the two emphases that you see in the magazine. I say it's the worst of both worlds, the combination really of Charisma magazine and Sojourners magazine. Sojourners of Jim Wallis and his liberalism, and Charisma and its extreme charismania type issues that are brought forth and promoted there. Let me just say before we get started with a current event article, we look at Wikipedia's what they say about Charisma magazine. I think it's pretty accurate. It's a monthly Christian magazine. It's aimed at Pentecostals and Charismatics. Its perspective is influenced by the charismatic revivalism, by charismatic revivalism and other contemporary streams of charismatic Christianity, such as Toronto Blessing, International House of Prayer, which of course is part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement, and then of course they refer to that as the Apostolic Prophetic Movement. It was founded in 1975 with Stephen Strang, or Strange, however you like to say it. I shouldn't say that. It's probably Strang. That's how it looks, as publisher. Anyway, of course, his son, Cameron Strang, has the Relevant magazine. That's his baby. And as we will see in the ongoing look that we look at Relevant magazine in future podcasts, you'll see both of these issues, both the extreme Pentecostal, extreme charismaniac type material, as well as the being open to the liberal Christianity, so called, that's prevailing in much of our culture these days. Let's look at an article I didn't have time to look at last week, and I want to also, while I'm doing that, actually, we'll just leave it at that. the article is called Hijacking Evangelicism, George Soros Funding Apostate Church Movements, and this is an article by Jerry Ungerian. She's written a lot of good articles, and I've referenced her materials on several occasions. And in this article, we read, it seems to me that myriad apostate church movements have come over America like a huge tsunami wave in the past few years. I think she's absolutely on target with that. Spot on, as they say. I asked myself, could this have just happened spontaneously? Well, it may have, and she's, of course, wanting to present the case that George Soros, this individual, had a lot to do with it, and that may well be the case. I certainly don't think it's all to be laid at his feet. But anyway, you'll see this is an interesting article as she looks at just, you know, she lists some of the movements in the last few years that she's concerned about. The emergent church, the New Apostolic Reformation, the social justice gospel, Chrislam, as it's called, you know, combining the elements of Christianity and Islam, the Red Letter Church movement. She says, I've researched on the internet for so many years for my articles. There had to be a catalyst for the springing up of so many churches teaching doctrines of devils. I realize that the Word of God warns of a great falling away, and of course that's, we need to recognize that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4 speaks of the falling away, or the great apostasy, which we are seeing elements of, and we'll continue to see as we draw near to the Lord's return. She says, knowing that the prophetic Word of God is always fulfilled, fulfilled to the letter, I still search for a common thread throughout this great apostasy, and the Lord allowed me to find it, she says. George Soros, she says that he uses his money and influence across the globe to push his Marxist socialist ideologies, also known as progressivism, and that's certainly true. He interferes geopolitically, always keeping in his warped mind the goal, the one world government and one world religion. Soros, along with his cronies in the Illuminati, she says, will stop at nothing to achieve their goals. And we know that these goals will come to fruition. We just don't know when. You know, there's many secret societies. Emir Tasafari had a talk on the Illuminati and secret societies that I listened to the other day. And, you know, we do see so much of this. We have the deep state. That's a reality that's in our political system here in this, in the States. And there's many secret societies and there's many things out there. And I don't like to dwell a lot on things that can't be totally proven in terms of all the details, since secret societies want to keep secret and they want to put out red herrings or send you on wild goose chases, maybe thinking you have truth when you don't. So I'm not real wild about conspiracy theories, and yet obviously Satan has a conspiracy theory, or a conspiracy, I should say, that he's using to ultimately bring forth a one-world government and one-world religion as he ushers in the false Messiah, as we know him by terms like the Antichrist and others, the Beast. Anyway, she says that they will stop at nothing to achieve their goals, and we know that these goals will come to fruition. We just don't know when. Could Soros be funding the so-called Christian left? If ever there was an oxymoron, Christian left would have to top that list. The left have nothing to do with biblical Christianity, and I have stressed that, and I can't stress it enough myself. The many leftist organizations owned and run by George Soros, he's founded or helped to found Open Societies Foundation, which is Open Borders, of course, relates to Open Borders, Central European University, Institute for New Economic Thinking, Marxism, Clinton Foundation, and then also Soros supporting Black Lives Matter, which, you know, has been also promoted by Sojourners, Lisa Harper. I don't have her complete name on hand here. I mentioned her last week. But anyway, I went to a Sojourners gathering near my community, and of course, a Black Lives Matter speaker was leading a workshop there. Media Matters for America. I think it's Lisa Sharon Harper, but don't quote me, but we'll get around to her name later on in other podcasts. Planned Parenthood Action Fund, American Civil Liberties Union, Amnesty International, National Democratic Voting Rights Trust, America Votes, Immigrant Voters Win, PAC, Every Voice, and the Occupy Movement. These are all groups that Soros supports. And then the other ones that he founded or helped to find, I've already read. goes on to say, the following article was written during the Obama regime. This is from blottingoutgod.com. When someone believes social justice is more of a biblical priority than social issues, chances are their faith is based on the politics of man rather than the inspiration of God's word. This is their quote. Founded by Jim Wallace and Tony Campolo, who I've spoken of many times, Red Letter Christians are one such group of liberal progressives whose purpose is to counter the influences of the conservative Christian movement and traditional evangelicals. Another founder, Catholic writer Richard Rohr, believes we need to earn our way to heaven. Still another, homosexual advocate Brian McLaren, refutes the inerrancy of scriptures. Trying to appear apolitical, these opportunistic ideologues criticize Republicans and conservative Christians while pushing their own political agendas. According to the apologist Richard Haass in Stand Up for the Truth, another major problem with the red letter Christian movement is its cherry-picking approach to the use of Scripture. This group will concentrate on certain parts of the Bible that promote their agenda while excluding other parts of the Bible that either contradict or do not fit the red letter Christian's agenda. Groups like the Red Letter Christians, while seeming tolerable and peaceful in their purpose, are actually undermining and dishonoring Christ and his kingdom. Of course, I've had a lot to say about that. There is another excerpt from the book Eradicate, Blotting Out God in America. Bible publishers probably had good intentions when they highlighted the teachings of Jesus by printing them in red letters, but this has helped some emergent church leaders find another way to cast doubt on the entire Bible. Jesus Christ is the truth, and he is the Word, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus came to fulfill the law, the Old Testament. Every letter the Apostle Paul wrote points to the perfect person of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, the Gospels, and the New Testament are all in complete agreement and harmony. Red Letter Christians teach that the sayings of Jesus are somehow more holy, sacred, or inspired than the rest of Scripture, but we know the whole counsel of God is perfect. And the article quotes 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training, and righteousness. One obvious agenda for this false teaching is to justify homosexuality and minimize abortion. These popular evangelical authors pit God and the Apostle Paul against Jesus by telling their followers that Jesus didn't specifically address homosexuality. By this they imply Jesus must approve of that which he did not address directly. This is ludicrous and would also lead to the false conclusion that Jesus also approves of cannibalism, rape, or vampires, since he didn't specifically mention them. Of course, and I always like to point out that when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, just as he said, as it was in the days of Noah, that that would be as it was in those days, so should would the coming of the Son of Man be. When he pointed out the days of Lot, of course he was speaking specifically of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived, and of his judgment that he made upon those cities for the sin, of course, of sodomy, of homosexual sin. And so when they say that Jesus didn't addressed directly homosexuality, well, maybe not, but he certainly addressed it indirectly when he warned that when he returns, it's going to be like it was then, when he destroyed those cities, when he destroyed the world during Noah's time. So I think that's a strong word about where Jesus stands on the issue of homosexuality, and there's other things we could point out. These leaders argue that since Jesus taught about loving the least of these, how can we call someone that Christ commands us to love sinful? Yeah, so I guess nobody's a sinner. Not just the homosexuals, but no one, I guess. He notes that the early church shared everything when he said, in those red letters, Jesus calls us away. Oh, this is Jim Wallace who says this. He notes that the early church shared everything when he said, in those red letters, Jesus calls us away from the consumerist values that dominate contemporary American consciousness. Wallace and Pello have gained cult-like followings by speaking against the Christian establishment and against Republicans as they make the rounds on the college circuit. Wallace and Campolo, that is. But as I've pointed out before, they misinterpret Matthew 25. That's the big key verse for most liberals, most all liberals, and especially these guys. They go to Matthew 25 all the time. And they disregard the fact that Jesus not only loves everyone, but Jesus and God is a just God, because you can't have true love without true justice. So, but they don't want to talk about hell and some of those type things. So anyway, moving on in the article, so that I might be able to get my foot in the door in the relevant issue I wanted to look at today. And we may not, but we'll see. He goes on to say in this article, red letter, or I should say Jerry does, red letter Christians profess to hate religion and love Jesus. Though there is not a clear statement of faith on their website, they do list the Apostles' Creed and give a charge to follow the words of Jesus, not the entire Bible, of course, their list of contributors and recommended authors is a roll call of the Progressive Evangelical Hall of Shame. When someone's theology seems to be driven by a desire to justify and promote a political agenda or a sinful lifestyle, rather than honestly interpret what Scripture teaches, that's called handling the Word of God deceitfully. She goes on to say, in June of 2010, Reverend Jim Wallace was asked if he believed abortion and homosexuality were sins. Wallace shouted at Mike LeMay, who was the Christian radio station manager. He shouted at him, called him a right-wing, Kool-Aid-drinking Glenn Beck follower, and hung up the phone. I documented the divisive controversy that led to this exchange in my book, Eradicate. And, of course, that's going back to that book that we were quoting from early before. And I don't happen to have that author's name here, or I would give him credit. It says, on Monday, Wallace, being faithful to the Democratic Party platform, openly admitted to supporting same-sex marriage. Not surprisingly, a spokesman for Wallace's Sojourners magazine could not say whether or not Wallace believes homosexuality is a sin. Appointed by President Obama to his White House Faith Council, some say Wallace is a progressive evangelical because of his primary support is from leftists. And of course, as I've mentioned before, Wallace really helped bring 25% of the evangelical vote for Barack Obama. In 2011, it was revealed by investigative journalists that Wallace's Sojourner magazine received hundreds of thousands of dollars from radical socialist George Soros. Why would an anti-American financier like Soros give large grants to Sojourners? Jim Wallace first denied the Soros connection, saying, no, we don't receive money from George Soros. Our money comes from Christians who support us and who read Sojourners. Soros, it goes on to say, Soros is a corrupt billionaire from Hungary aiming to destroy America's Christian ideals and freedoms that made us a great nation. His hatred for America fuels the financing, over $52 million, of left-wing media outlets and groups, including those promoting abortion, atheism, homosexual activism, socialism, and government expansion. It's no wonder Jim Wallace tried to hide the truth. George Soros is working to destroy America's system of capitalism, and this connection between Wallace and Soros should not be ignored. On their website, Sojourners quotes people like Gandhi, the Dalai Lama, New Age leader Marianne Williamson, and emphasizes social justice, environmental activism, diversity, and immigration. Wallace seemed to look at the Bible in light of the world around him rather than looking at the world in light of God's Word. From his White House platform, he attacks Republicans while calling himself a nonpartisan evangelical minister. Have to laugh at that one. And is very popular among liberals who routinely vilify Christians for their involvement in political issues. According to Wallace, as more Christians become influenced by liberation theology, finding themselves increasingly rejecting the values of institutions of capitalism, they will also be drawn to the Marxist analysis and praxis that is so central to the social justice movement. Early in his career, Wallace founded an anti-capitalist magazine called The Post-American, which identified wealth redistribution and government-managed economics as the keys to achieving social justice. He changed the name to Sojourners in the early 70s. During his college years at Michigan State, Wallace joined the Students for a Democratic Society, or the SDS, a radical organization that aspired to overthrow America's institutions. And, of course, I mentioned Wallace's book, and I don't have it handy right now, but I will get back around to that at some point in the future. I've already read about it. You can go back to some of my other podcasts. And he goes into the details of his actions at a Christian seminary. up in Chicago. Over the years, Jim Wallace has been pro-Viet Cong and actually celebrated America's defeat in Vietnam, stating, "I don't know how else to express the quiet emotion that rushed through me when the news reports showed that the United States had finally been defeated in Vietnam." In 1979, the journal Mission Tracks published an interview with Wallace in which he expressed his hope that more Christians will come to view the world through Marxist eyes. Wallace was listed as one of three Religion and Socialism Commission co-chairs in a 1982 Democratic Socialists of America newsletter. He promotes equally distributed wealth, but this type of socialism has never been able to create the abundance needed to lift the poor out of poverty. Most importantly, his social justice politics cast aside the Great Commission of Christ to make disciples of all nations and can be confusing to people. 2005, Wallace was hired by Senate Democrats to help turn religious voters into Democrats, in part by sprinkling references to God and faith into their speeches to dupe people into thinking they found religion. And I mentioned that 25% of evangelicals voted for Obama. The next year, in a 2006 radio broadcast, an interviewer asked him, "Are you then calling for the redistribution of wealth in society?" Wallace replied, "Absolutely, without any hesitation. That's what the gospel is all about." "Whose gospel?" Jerry asked. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, we have the true gospel, if you'd like to reference that for yourself. The editor-in-chief of World Magazine and provost of King's College, Marvin Olasky, has debated Wallace. He writes, "Biblically, justice tied to righteousness is what promotes faith in God, not faith in government. Learn about the biggest institutional hindrance to economic advancement for the poor: the government's monopoly control of taxpayer funds committed to education and welfare." Apparently, this is when Olasky was writing, he was quoting Wallace's, you know, part of his debate and his comments. In a 2008 interview with Christianity Today, Wallace promised to work very hard to make abortion reduction a central Democratic Party plank for the first time. It's been 7 years since Wallace made that promise, and over 1.2 million babies continue to be aborted every year. He claims poverty and global inequality are today's fundamental moral issues. The glaring hypocrisy, of a religious, liberal, and social activist Jim Wallace has again been exposed, and we should pray for those confused or deceived by this very different gospel for the Christian left. The Christian left promotes. Brethren, I am not blaming Soros for the leaders of the apostate movements. I am simply showing the reader that once again we can follow the money. I don't believe that Soros, this is Jerry speaking, don't believe that Soros is the Antichrist, but he certainly is an evil force in this world who is a foreshadowing of the wicked. Each day when this man awakes, he is consumed with nefarious plans for globalism, and that's true. Anyway, our God had other plans. In 2016 when Trump was elected. And don't forget that for the world stage to be set for the appearance of Antichrist, globalism will be a reality. Now, I do have time to get into the relevant magazine that I wanted to, and this particular issue is the January-February 2016 issue. And I want to look right off the bat at an ad for Jim Wallace's book called America's Original Sin. It says, "It's time for a new conversation and action on racism." In America's Original Sin, Wallace offers a prophetic and deeply personal call to action in overcoming the racism ingrained in American society. You know, I'm sorry, but America's Original Sin, I'm more concerned with mankind's original sin myself, personally, and God's plan to deliver us from that original sin, the destruction that will come our way eternally without God working on our behalf through Christ. Wallace is more caught up with America's original sin here, apparently, which he claims is racism. And Shane Claiborne, one of Tony Campolo's disciples, says it's a thoughtful, heartfelt, compassionate plea for us to heal the wounds of racial injustice and build a new America and a new world together. See, we're going to build the new world. We're going to set up a progressive millennium, a progressive millennial kingdom for God, you know. So anyway, moving on to the next article, comment anyway, the page I want to comment on is Stephen Colbert, of course, is CBS's Late Show host. And this article that they put in relevant here is called Truthiness Shall Set You Free, How Stephen Colbert is Bringing His Christian Faith to CBS, The Late Show. They wanted to get that in Relevant Magazine, all about Stephen Colbert and his Christian faith. When Stephen Colbert made the jump from Comedy Central to CBS this fall, he promised to drop the fake, outraged political persona he crafted on The Colbert Report and present a more authentic version of himself. And since he's taken over for Letterman as the host of The Late Show, there's one element of Colbert's identity that's been a fixture of his network TV presence, his strong Catholic faith. Here's a look at four of the times Colbert brought Christianity to late night, and we'll probably just look at a couple here. He talks about trying to convert Bill Maher, the atheist or non-Christian anyway, let's say a very anti-Christian comedian. I think he's atheist. It goes on to say, sharing his faith in interviews, he says, that's my context for my existence, is that I am here to know God, love God, serve God, that we might be happy with each other in this world and with Him in the next. The Catechism. And that's, of course, referring to the Pope, Pope Francis, quoting, Pope Francis, forgive me, I'm a little bit, my tongue's getting tied today. And, of course, Colbert makes sense of that. He likes Francis because he's a far left-wing guy like him, far left-wing Catholic like Colbert. He told Oprah his favorite Bible verse, and he quoting scripture when talking about the refugee controversy. He says, if you want to know if somebody's a Christian, according to Colbert, just ask them to complete this sentence. Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you... And if you don't say, welcome me in, then they are either a terrorist or they're running for president. Isn't that funny? That's humor, right? Well, again, that's a misinterpretation of Matthew 25 that the liberals love to do. According to Colbert, you're not a Christian, you know, unless you let, you know, you, in fact, you're even a terrorist if you don't let potential terrorists in. But anyway, not to get too political here. It's hard to avoid, isn't it? We're talking about politics and the election. This is, of course, the big part of the social gospel, Matthew 25. And I'm sure Mr. Colbert invites the poor, illegal aliens, Muslim refugees. I bet his mansion is full of these folks because he's such a good, loving, wonderful Christian man. I'm being very sarcastic and for good reason, because I believe Mr. Colbert needs prayer, because I believe he needs salvation. Well, I'm out of time, but at least I got my foot in the door with Relevant Magazine. We'll look at another article next week, and then we'll look at some other current event articles concerning politics and the election. So God bless you all, and I hope you'll be with us next week.